The Sultan visits his soapbox, Dor gets evangelistic, and oh yeah, some apps too. This week on Android App Addict. Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 507. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, doors, vaping, and whatever else happens to cross our mind. My name is Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me are the people you're really here to hear from. Eric, the great one, the executive, the master, Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek. What's your last name? I just completely blanked. Door-to-door geek. I'm just going to... McLaughlin, that's the one. Smooth intro, folks. That's why I make the big bucks. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Mark. Yeah, that's pretty smooth. You overwhelm my ego when you start up the show like that. I'm a simple manager. That's all I need. I need all that extra fluff.
Such humbleness. I am in a state of sanity because I constantly remind myself that the universe is under no obligation to make any sense to me. I keep telling myself that over and over again.
So what's this week's bewilderment item that, like, wow, that doesn't really make any sense?
Just human beings in general.
Yeah, well, humans, they're a tricky one.
Yeah, if I was an Australian wildsman, I would stick my thumb up my butt and say, watch what it does.
I'm not sure why being from Australia makes you want to do that, but...
I mean, you could be a teen who got your World of Warcraft taken away and do the same thing. But, you know, there's no explanations needed, though. It doesn't owe you any. It doesn't owe us any as to why you said Australia.
Yeah, gotcha.
I am, you know how you get to that point where you're so tired, you're just running on adrenaline?
And, you too?
You know, at any point, once the adrenal gland fatigues, you're just going to collapse. So any weird, bizarre things, I say more bizarre than normal, I'm going to chalk up to just sheer exhaustion. And there really is no end in sight.
We are all in the same boat together, though. At least we're in the same ship. Because I'm exactly where you're at. I got to get up extra early tomorrow. I stayed up extra late last night. Got up really early this morning and had to walk a mile first thing right after waking up. That's what happens when you don't make it home. But
yeah, I'm taking off tomorrow.
Oh, Dor.
Listen, I looked. I had over 300 hours worth of leave. It's like I got to use it. If I don't use it, what's the point of earning?
And you look so, that's what I keep you look so spry right now. You don't look even a bit tired, and you're taking a day off tomorrow.
No, because I know I'm going to get to sleep at least a little bit, even though she immediately asked me to cut the grass.
And so my kids have not quite 3 weeks of school left, a couple of weeks left. And I'm thinking, I need to take a couple of days off, but I have to do it before they get out of school, because it's not a day off if I take a day off of work when they're home. And so I'm trying to juggle my work schedule so that in the next couple of days I can take like maybe a Thursday, Friday, or a Friday, Monday just to have some me time. And that seems like the most douchebaggy thing to possibly say, but it's true. My entire life is devoted to serving other people. I love those other people. I'm happy to serve them. But at some point, I need to just lay in bed for a while. And that's not going to happen if my kids are at home when I take off.
Yeah, there's a really good friend at work who is off right now. He's getting married in 2 days. I've gingerly paced the conversation out with the ultimate conclusion of, you're now dead. You don't exist. You and her exist. If you want you to exist, you have to weasel time in a couple hours here or a couple hours there every couple months. At the most, unless you plan on getting a divorce.
That's for reals, man.
And then once the kids come, you don't even get to be you and her anymore. You're just the parents of the kid.
You're the guy, shut up and give me a waffle, shut up and give me food, shut up and turn on cartoons, shut up and wipe my butt. Yes, you're that guy. And then maybe a couple minutes every couple months, you can find some me time.
Yeah.
And you know, that's first world problems, and we relish in them.
Yeah, I we do relish in our first world. So I would like to just be home, you know, for a while, but 4 days from now, I'm gone for 10 days straight. So I'm going to be missing two shows because I must have left my mobile podcast rig in a hotel. That's all I can think of. I've looked everywhere for it. My extra set of microphones and audio thing is gone. So, yeah, three of the nights are in a casino, which should be really fun, but I'd still rather be home. And then I'm flying out to see, well, I'm going to be out on the East Coast in Virginia for a few days. So,
Well, considering I got a free battery pack when we went to Orlando,
it doesn't surprise you, does it?
I kind of do believe that you left your microphone in a room.
Yes. It's a whole bag of cords and everything you'd need, but
so,
I can't.
I hope you were at least at a podcaster convention when you left it, so the person who get it can use it.
No, it wasn't. So that's why I haven't been podcasting from the road for a while. I've been hoping I could find that, but I have not found it. You know, who knows? Maybe one day it'll just turn up, too. That happens to me.
The best way to find it is to buy a replacement, and then the thing comes back.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That's exactly right. I don't have any money, though.
That's the thing. You know,
I've been spending money. I got hardware news because I've been spending money.
All right. Well, I was just going to use this golden opportunity and say, Dor, if, for example, a listener wanted to give money for Eric to get a podcasting rig or for any other reason to support the show, how would be the best way to go about doing that?
Oh, if they want to give a lump sum, it's just go to paypal.com and shoot it over to mail@podnotch.com with the note, it's for Eric. Or if you want long-term investment strategies, which, you know, any responsible adult would do, is you go over to patreon.com/androidappaddicts.
There you go. Patreon, patreon.com.
And since we're talking about that stuff, if you're totally broke, leave a review on iTunes.
There you go. That's a way to pay it forward. Probably shouldn't even mention it on this, but I decided this week or last week to divest myself of all digital currencies. So look for record highs in digital currency prices over the next couple of months. Since I have sold it all, it's going to go hit, Bitcoin will hit 50,000 next month. So now's a good time to buy because I've sold.
NVIDIA just announced that there's the 10 series, I want to say they called it, is now completely in stock, available everywhere, aka all the Bitcoin mining capabilities are now pretty much exclusively on dedicated rigs, and they're off of graphics cards, or they're beginning to be off of graphic cards. There's a big conference happening next weekend, and every time they've had this conference for the last 3 years or 4 years, they've seen a definite bump in the next couple weeks. So, yes, I agree with you.
So, did you do okay? I mean, after the big experiment's over, Mark, did you throw a couple pennies in your pocket?
One of the reasons that I decided to get out is because, and I've said it 100 times, a digital currency cannot be both an investment property and a currency. Currencies are much too stable to be a good investment. And an investment is much too volatile to be a currency. Now, I understand people do buy currencies. People buy the dollar. People buy the yen. But you're looking at very small variations in those overall. And when I saw the wild swings in Bitcoin, I thought, you know, I'm just going to get out. So I sold my Bitcoin. I sold my Bitcoin Cash. And I sold my Ether. And between the three of them, I had a 4,000% increase in my purchase price. So, you know, I don't feel too bad about it. If things go up and I miss it, that's all right. I still did okay.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's definitely good. I own exactly no cryptocurrency.
Yeah, same here. I just kick myself all the time. I just like doing that, though. Well, I wouldn't want to actually buy one so I didn't kick myself anymore.
Well, with me, it's just any type of investment. It's called an investment to get you to give it money. It's gambling is what mm-hmm. it is. And I just don't gamble anything. I don't like to gamble. I don't gamble on lottery, lotto, scratch-offs, casinos, none of them. I don't partake in any of them. So I don't partake in cryptocurrencies. I will have to eventually someday, people hope, but I don't know.
Ray Dalio, the founder and I don't think he is CEO anymore, of one of the largest hedge funds, I'm blanking on which one it is right now, he's written a couple of books, and throughout his entire books, he calls all of his monetary movements bets. He uses that word because that's what it is. You're making a bet on the market, and he just happens to make bets with about 300 million people's money, but they're still bets.
I could. I'm pretty sure I couldn't do that for a living. I'm pretty sure I'd have a stroke.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure it's stressful. So, Eric, let's talk about hardware.
Oh, so I bought a piece of hardware, but I'm gonna probably exchange it for another piece. It is, I don't know if it's exactly Android, but it's close. It's I purchased the Roku Stick Plus or Premier or something like that. 4K HDR ready Roku Stick. But I didn't even open the package. I'm gonna take it back and get the Roku Ultra. It's $100. It seems a lot of money for a Roku. Seems like I've bought Rokus over the years and they've never been anywhere close to that price.
Well, but more ergo better, so it must be better.
Well, and I've never heard of somebody saying they got tired of the Roku or the Roku stopped working. The only time I've heard somebody get rid of their Roku is when they get a better one. So that I would say is an investment because the likelihood of breakdown or failure is extremely low, and the likelihood you'll use it is, I think, pretty high.
So it's not a currency. It's a Roku. It's an investment. I agree. The Ultra comes with an Ethernet cable or an Ethernet adapter in it. So I'm thinking, you know, once I get fiber and I'm streaming 4K, maybe I would want just to plug that in rather than go Wi-Fi to it.
Do you have a TV that can do 4K?
Well, that was my second purchase. Walmart's clearing out. You know, Walmart's got the greatest TVs and super prices on them. So Walmart is clearing out. I don't know if all of them in the whole country are, but at least ours, the three around me, are getting rid of the 2017s to make room for the 2018s. So I got an HDR 4K TV for $225, 43-inch. I didn't think it was too bad. It was $100 off of the last price it was. So, because here's my issue. I was watching TV on a 24-inch TV in my living room, and I've got Philo and Netflix, and my eyes are bad, so I couldn't read the words. So I just needed something bigger to read. And okay. Then 4K is going to be crisper, so I can read the words.
How big was that 4K? 55, you said?
No, the one I just bought was a 43.
43. See, I need that right here, right in front of me right now. I've got two 24-inch monitors, which is 48 inches, at 1080p each. So a 4K would be four times, double the resolution and twice the screen realistic, or a little more than the screen realistic, not twice as much. But yeah, at 225, I may pick one of those up just for
one,
my
one of the reviews I read, a gentleman tried to use it for his computer and he wasn't satisfied with it. And the company actually wrote back and said, hey, the pixels are much more dense on a computer monitor than they are on a TV, even 4K.
That's why it's so cheap.
Yeah. But it's got a tuner on it, you know. It's got four HDMIs, three USBs. It's got all the RCA type connections in it. And I don't know. I haven't even taken it out of the box yet. But and I've already second guessed my Roku. I think I'm just going to get the Ultra, and I don't have to worry about it.
I have an original Roku. Well, maybe not original, but one of the first model Rokus. And then I have a couple of Roku, one Roku 2 and one Roku 3. And they're all old. I bought them all used, you know, eBay, Craigslist kind of stuff. And they're fine. I don't know why I would ever want to upgrade. But then again, I don't have 4K HDR. So that might be the reason to upgrade. But I would not hesitate to spend $100 on a Roku. It is worth that much
money. Yeah. And the 24-inch TV that I have in the living room is a Roku TV. And it works great for that. It's just too small. And I wanted another Roku TV. Honestly, I didn't want to buy a separate box because it's held up just fine.
My father
was a little leery at first, but
had a big Curtis Mathis television, console television. It was 3.5 feet by 4 feet, and it was a 20-inch, I think, tube in it. You know, and today we talk about that 24-inch is just too small, and I've got two 24-inches, you know, within arm's reach of me. We are so spoiled.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I will say the only feature in Roku that I could see spending more money for is the one with the remote with the headphone jack in it. I really do like that idea for when the kids are sleeping and the wife is upstairs. I would be able to do that because, you know, TV's
and it's got the remote that you can talk to, so you don't have to type on the on-screen keyboard to find things when you're doing a search.
That is the one Richard Cranium move that Roku has ever done. I'll let you figure out what that's a euphemism for. Is when they introduced that remote with the headphones, they disabled the Roku app from listening to TV. You used to be able to plug your headphone into your phones, to your Android or iPhone phone, and get the audio that way. And so when they released that new remote, they disabled that feature on the app, and which is just
kind of... Are you sure?
Yes.
Because on the boxes, it does say that you can still do that.
Well, maybe they put it back, but last year, the last time I tried it, that feature had been taken out.
Hmm. The chat room says that you can't talk to it, but you can still listen to it through the file. But I don't have a headphone jack on my phone anyway, so that wouldn't work.
What kind of world are we living in, where your TV remote has a headphone jack, but your phone doesn't?
Yeah, because 2 years from now. Dang it, I can't go anywhere and find a TV remote with a headphone jack no more. It's all Bluetooth. What am I going to do? That's funny.
Right. Well, I'll divert the conversation and ask you guys, did you guys watch any of Google I.O.?
I have just stopped caring in any way about that, frankly.
I care, but I didn't watch any. I did install Android P on my phone, though, and I like it.
I care to a measurable degree, but not enough to actually watch any of it. So I watched The Verge's, the entire keynote thing crunched down into, I don't know, 3 minutes or 5 minutes.
What'd you learn?
I learned we still, as a culture and a society, still blindly trust Google because they haven't been caught doing anything bad yet. So we give them every damn thing. They're going to release like 5 key features that I remember having on my Droid X 7 years ago, and they're calling them new features. So none of them are...
They're new to Android. Those were part of the skin, you know.
Well, they were part of the ROM hacks I had. I learned that they're going to basically pick up where Jolly Roger Telephone Company has been doing for well over a year now, and now they're going to try to pick up that kind of mojo and do bots on audio telephone calls. I still have to say Jolly Roger did it better, but that's just me.
That's it?
Yeah, but they're going to have... You're going to be able to basically do whatever on your phone and have it make a phone call to a place and schedule an appointment.
Oh, yay.
Make an inquiry.
If they can turn that algorithm or UI or OI or whatever, AI, just tune it in for Comcast calls and just, that'd be beautiful.
Well, first their demonstration is of making a reservation. We have OpenTable on Android for years. We don't need to call up. I'm just saying, what this is 2018. Lucy Phone already existed for 5 years, to where you never have to wait on hold again. But for some reason, it hasn't picked up any popularity. And I'm pretty sure the ends means you are going to have to put in much more work, putting everything in your calendar, giving away all of your privacy, giving away all of your preferences, giving away all of your things into this ecosystem to save a 2-minute phone call, at least initially, does not seem to me to be worthwhile or something we even talk about in a year.
Since I already do all that, so I'm looking forward to that new feature because, you know, Google knows everything there is to know about me.
Right. Well, they want you to also schedule when you have lunches, when you have dinners, all kinds of little things. But the one thing that people were mad about was that the call did not announce itself to the person, to the human on the other end, that I am a Google bot kind of thing. And they thought it was creepy that it just said hello and then just started the conversation. And I don't understand why people were freaked out by that, but I was okay with it.
If Google could just use their AI to translate whatever the Comcast operators are saying on the other end, Johnny, not included, I don't somehow to ever get to talk to you, but every other one, I can't understand anything they're saying because they're not anywhere close to the United States, even though, and for some reason, they're only open 9 to 5, yet these people are probably, you know, up at 2 in the morning wherever they live.
Right. And I'll say just really quick, if you want entertainment, look for Jolly Roger Telephone Company on YouTube. They have a channel now where they've uploaded hours of conversations and they give you textual notes like how they catch scammers. Like a scammer sent a reset PIN code to the guy and the guy kept telling the bot, I need you to look at your phone and I sent you a text message. Tell me the numbers in that text message. So the guy's trying to scam him, and the Jolly Roger robot's like, wow, have you ever looked at a flame? It's beautiful. I mean, it is just so beautiful. So I didn't catch what you said. Can you please say that again? stuff like that. So if you just want pure entertainment, Jolly Roger Telephone Company on YouTube. It's good stuff.
That sounds like fun. I have not checked that out yet.
But yeah, there was no hardware announcements that I know of at any Google I.O. Huh. They still didn't tell you what the P stands for. It was all digital well-being, machine learning, artificial intelligence, blah, blah, blah. Nothing that you can't use without connecting to a Google server is what I gathered from it. You know, I'm sure P is going to be better. Like the one feature that I missed that I had in my old ROM was I could just put my phone face down and it would immediately go into do not disturb mode, which I don't have on this device. Maybe it's a feature I never looked, but I used to like that feature. That's cool. But then again, if you accidentally put your phone down face down and somebody tries to call you, you know, you're not going to hear it.
Is that how that worked? I mean, I already had it under do not disturb because we're on a podcast, so I guess it didn't work. I thought if you just lay it down while it's ringing, it just immediately shuts it off. You know, it'd be quiet. I wasn't supposed to leave it on, but now I shut it up really quick. Instead of the people who let it ring like 5 times while they're in the meeting, trying to fumble through it to figure out how to make it stop ringing without actually answering. But then some of them do.
They call it part of the shush features, where you put your phone face down and basically it goes muted.
I like the app drawer's got not only the most used apps come up in the top row, but then right below it, it also has kind of like a person you called very recently and the latest episode. Like, so for instance, Podcast Addict is at the top of my list. And then right below it, there's that, if you can see that rectangle, is if I hit that, it's going to automatically start playing the latest episode downloaded.
So it's integrated the Windows 95 recent documents menu. Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
Animations are a little extreme. Like when you're bouncing to the end of a scroll, you know, at the bottom of a list or something, there's a lot, you can definitely feel they've done a lot to the animations. I can't specifically, you know, put it to words what they are. The settings menu changed quite a bit. For some reason, the clock moved to the top left. And I've been really used to it on the top right, so that took me by surprise. Oh, I'll have to keep playing with it to come up with some major things I found, but I haven't found a whole lot. Just very cosmetic stuff.
I think often OS updates, software updates in general, are differences that aren't improvements. They're just differences. Like moving the clock to the left. That's a difference. It differentiates this OS from the previous one. Not an improvement. No value add. Just, hey, let's do something different.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it feel new and better. Like Chrysler, when they change all their cars and minivans to round from square, it's like, oh, these must be better because they're different. And then 5 years later, they change all their round cars and minivans to square again and back and forth every 8 years or so. And it feels like, you know, you sit in like, oh, this has got to be better. No, still a Dodge. Sorry.
Well, since the name of this show is Android App Addicts, maybe we should talk about some Android apps. Do either of you happen to have an app that you'd like to discuss?
I put new mufflers on my Grand Prix today. Oh, yes, I do have some apps. I'm going to bring one. Can I go first? No.
Go ahead.
Okay. I got a game. So this is a game where you, huh?
But you're not a gamer.
I'm not a gamer. This is a game that where you actually get to be a getaway driver. And Door brought the original version of this. It's called Paco 2, P-A-K-O-2, by Tree Men Games. It's a racing E for everyone. Basically, you drive. It's a top-down view. Very, very nice graphics on it. And you're cruising around. It's got little arrows that show up on the screen and tell you kind of where to go, where you got to pick up your guys. And then once you pick them up, you're almost immediately tailed by cops, and you're shooting at them, trying to stay away from them and then get to like a drop zone type thing to get to the next level or whatever. And it's fun and fast. It's on screen. You just press the right side of your phone to go right, left to go left, and then press them both for brake. But then the gas is always on. But it's a really nice looking. I don't know if the screenshots really do it justice. They don't at all. It's a really good looking game. I didn't notice if there was a video. Maybe there is.
There is.
Yeah.
So that might give you a good idea. It's kind of cartoony, but it looks good. Yeah, the original one, gotcha. I think, was you weren't in a getaway car. You were just avoiding cops. There was no pre-story to it. So it's right off the bat.
You just started to run. There was nothing going on. I see what looks like gunfire in this one as well. I don't remember seeing gunfire in the first
one. And that's auto firing. You don't have to do anything for that to happen. But yeah, there's a lot of gunfire.
Okay, so yeah, I'd say it's definitely an upgrade from the last one. And it is completely free, does have in-app purchases and ads.
Yeah, the ads weren't obtrusive. I didn't really see any ads, but maybe down the road there would be if I played it longer.
So what's the level up power up? What's the thing that will make sure that you can't keep playing this game until you pay for it?
I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I haven't bumped into that.
Like that fight, World War II fighting game that we talked. I can't even remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. Talked about a while back. I played that one, loved that one. But eventually, like always, you get to a point where you can either grind for the next 60 days, repeating levels and getting stars, or you can click this button and buy the plane that you need to go to the next level. And, you know, I'm going to complain about this every time we have a game because, you
know, was that Black Flight?
That's the one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that this is the same thing. There comes a point where you can't move on, or you moving on is futile because you don't have the equipment unless you either grind or pay. And that's when I uninstall a game.
Yeah, if I'm ever good enough to even get to that point, then I would too. But usually the games are all free to me because I can't make it that far.
I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, am I better than you or worse off than
You're a better gamer, but I spend less money and don't get frustrated.
I just know I would much rather pay $5 up front for an app that I get to play through the end and that's it.
Yeah.
Than this, you know, and like this game, the Black Flight thing, like the power ups are $15, $25, $30. And it's just, you know, whatever. I guess people pay it, but not this people. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I'll put it like this in the nicest way I can. It's like spam email. They only need one out of 300 people that download the game buy that. And I think they probably consider it a success. So, you know, and yeah, I will always much rather pay $5 and let me just plow through the game at my own rate and finish it.
It just tells me that the designers can't build a better game. And so we're going to, one of my things I like to say is I don't mind if companies make money off of me. They just don't have to make all their money off of only me.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Dor, what's your first app of the night?
I'm going to bring a game, but I'm going to first say this is an unusual game, I think, on any mobile type show. The game is called Torn, T-O-R-N.
Oh, that was close. I thought it was a totally different game for a second.
Okay. And it's, okay, yeah, okay. Thanks, Eric, for just completely swerving me. The category is massively multiplayer text-based RPG. That alone should tell you. There ain't too many of these that I've been able to find. Torn, mature 17+, not E for everyone, mature 17+, because everybody you interact with, or a huge amount of people that you interact with in this game, are real people. So they could say a bunch of different things. Free to download, no in-app purchases, no ads. 35 reviews, 4.6 average reviews. It is updated May 8th, 2018, 21 megs in size, 5,000 plus install, current version 0.1.15. The content rating does include mature 17+, use of drugs, and simulated gambling. The real reason I'm bringing this game is just because I don't know of any other true text-based, massively multi-online games on Android. So just because of its uniqueness, I just wanted to bring it. There's a casino in the game where you can go try to earn more money, but I think we already went over that with what I would do.
So is it only text-based? Because the images, the screenshots make it seem like there are graphical elements to the game as well.
There are graphical elements, but the way I'll put it is they're not motion interactive. They're basically like static images. Like if you take the old text-based game Zorg, and in each scene you have an image on the one side. That's the gist of it. There is images, but they're very limited in usage.
Hmm. there's a lot of different things going on with in this game. Building an empire, a casino, upgrade your trees. That's the first app I've ever seen with that too. The guns and stuff. So once you build your fortress or your empire, do you have to defend it with weapons, do you think?
It's okay. The only way I can put this is I'm going to harken back to a different time. Did any of you guys play the game Dope Wars on your Palm PDA?
Yes. No.
Okay. It's almost like that, except it's massively multiplayer. So you're dropped into a world. You're basically like a street thug. And in this text-based verse, you have to go through, earn money by doing either side jobs, side gigs, casino, rob other people kind of thing, to try to earn your wealth to build your empire up. And your goal is to basically not have to do the mundane things and have other things bringing you in money.
Sounds an awful lot like work.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what kind of job you do. You tell us you do something else, but if that's what sounds like work. No, that sounds... Kudos. It looks like a huge game. I mean, I'm going to have to install it. Just check it out. Definitely.
The description says, Torn City is so gritty and real that British Prime Minister Theresa May's staff used this game to learn about real criminal behavior. Don't believe us? Google it.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, my actually, goodness.
All of her staff.
It makes sense because these are real people acting in criminal manners, you know, in a simulated environment. So, sure, if you want to know how criminals act, go watch them.
Well, yeah, and in the game, it does say one of the features is you can even go legit and land yourself a high-flying job at one of the 1,000 player-owned companies. Hmm. So you don't have to be a criminal if you don't want to.
It's like Second Life, but with no graphics.
Yeah.
So there's thousands of player-owned companies and 5,000 installs.
Because it's cross-platform.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There's more than just Android users. And another key feature is experiment with dangerous drugs to boost your battle stats and gain a crucial edge.
That's
a feature.
That's why you use I was wondering why people use dangerous drugs. Now I know. It increases things.
Don't do drugs, kids, unless it's in a game, and then go right
ahead.
It boosts
your battle stats.
I think I'll stick with the song by Natalie Imbruglio. That's the only Torn I need in my life.
Oh, I love that song. Such a great song, Hunt. You like it, Wendor?
Yes.
Right on. Eric, what's your next app, my friend?
I'm going to say my next app comes to you from Germany. This is by Dr. Ing HCF Porsche AG, and it's called Porsche Mission E. Porsche Mission E, yeah. This is a VR AR Porsche app. So basically, you take your phone and you scan a surface. It could be the floor of your living room. It could be the top of your desk. After you scan that a little bit with your phone, you can then place Porsche's new electric vehicle on that area and rotate it or whatever you want. And then you can take your phone and you can walk around it and see all the way around it or look at it on your desk by moving your phone over and over. And then if you keep moving your phone like closer to it, you can look through the windows and see the interior and stuff. It's really nice. It's cool. And you can customize it with your own colors and things like that too. But I've never seen AR done this way. It reminds you of the Google thing where you can drop Star Wars characters and stuff just anywhere, and they kind of just stand there and mumble and move a little bit. This takes it to the next level where you can actually explore every bit of this car once you drop it into a place on your, you know, in your space.
So it's just a Porsche app advertisement?
It's basically an advertisement for this electric Porsche app, car, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard three words that I don't think go together. Porsche, electric car. I don't know. I know BMW said literally they're going to invest $40 billion in the next 5 years in electric cars. So I guess Porsche has to too.
So I'm going to do a complete tangent here. It's barely even a tangent. It may just be a near Earth orbit in event. So are we done talking about this? Should I hold my peace?
No, go ahead.
So first you have to understand, I am just a dumb country boy from East Texas who now happens to live in North Georgia. I don't get out much. I'm pretty sheltered from the world. So I may be talking to you about something that is completely old news, but it was a new experience to me. Went to lunch with a coworker today, and she drives a Nissan Murano. Newish vehicle. I don't know. I don't think it was brand new, but there were a group of us. We got in her car because it could fit several of us. We pull into the parking lot. She pushes a button on her car. The in-dash nav system shows a satellite image of the parking spot she's pulling into with the image of the car superimposed into it so that she can pull in straight and make sure that she's between the lines. I didn't know that this was a thing. But talking about this AR, I mean, that to me is the next level AR. Maybe it was just a trick of cameras, but it was totally like the Star Trek thing where they say put it on screen and this thing that couldn't possibly have a camera on it shows up, because that's exactly what it was. She pushed this button and suddenly the parking space she's pulling into is shown in great detail. And she said it was a satellite image. So that thing is not only super accurate GPS to be able to know that she's, you know, in the center of the parking spot, but also real time pulling down satellite image as she drives.
Well, it can't be real time.
No.
But I mean real time as in it's filtering through the database in real time.
Yeah. And that is scarily accurate GPS, because GPS is, I mean, most of them is always at least a couple feet off, it seems like. So yeah, that is scary. I don't think I've seen it, Mark. I can picture it. So top down view, and then they basically live programmatically as she's moving moves the image of the right. car, overhead image of the car, into the space as in real time. I'll just say that seems like a feature I know I could sense a lot of people need, because, you know, it seems like a lot of people can't park.
It seems more logical to me that it's not satellite data but sensors in the car. But I mean, she specifically told me it was satellite data. That doesn't mean she knows her own car, but I was just blown away by this is like, you know, Arthur C. Clarke, any technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. She might as well have waved a wand and said, may the force be with you at that point.
Nice.
Well, and the only next step would be she pulls up towards the parking space and hits a button and the car parks itself.
Mm. And Fords do that too. I was going to say the YouTubers in our chat room alerted me to this app that I did bring, the Porsche one. And if you shake your phone back and forth, you can actually drive the Porsche too, which is something I didn't even know about. So thank you YouTubers. You can't actually drive it, you can, you know, simulated drive it in the app.
Anyway, the chat room is saying that GPS accuracy is about 3 feet. Yeah, it's about a meter. Interestingly enough, there's a new technology. None of our devices have it yet, but the satellites have it, so all of our devices will have to update, that increases that accuracy to about 10 centimeters. So not only will Google know where you're going, not only will they know what lane you're in, they'll know what seat you're in and whether your phone is in your left or your right hand.
Drone strike. Oh, wait, sorry. We had GPS. None of us are actually right now using GPS. Because GPS is typically 30 plus feet of accuracy. We're using DGPS, digital GPS, which, yeah, can push us down to below 3 feet if on a stellar perfect day with perfect connection to crazy amount of satellites. But I do think the average, yeah, is like 3 feet. So
I'm on the Nissan website as we talk. It is cameras. It's not satellite. It's a composite of different picture images from around the car itself. And yes, Dor, if you push the right button, it will pull in the parking space for you.
Well, there you go. Well, I would like to get that car for a dear close
wife
relative
of yours
that I don't want to. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, so the website shows 5 cameras that show a 360-degree view when composited, and then the system uses some smart electronics to put that all together. So it's not satellite. That actually is a lot more plausible to me than satellite. I was blown away when she told me a satellite.
Well, the only reason I would worry about the satellite is, what if they repaint the lines?
Yeah, they would have to be doing satellite flyovers every 48 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just a cool experience for me. And that is, Eric, you're a big fan of VR. That's real world VR right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's full scale. Yep. You're not setting that on your desk. That's real. That's real. So the chat room, who informed me about the shaking and driving thing, said that they just made that up. I'm going to prove to everybody that, no, it is a real thing. There's a D and an R on there and a brake, and you actually drive it. So just because, yes, the chat room is genius. I agree.
So just because you make something up doesn't mean it isn't also true.
Right. Is there any original thoughts anymore? Is there anything that hasn't been invented? Should we just, you know.
According to Solomon, there is no new thing under the sun.
Is there any new song ever going to be produced ever again?
Not out of Nashville or L.A., that's for sure.
Ding.
All right, Dor, what's your next app, my friend?
Okay. Sorry, I'm right in the middle of clicking buy on a game, and I'm virtually done. Okay. Next thing I want to bring, I'm not going to lie, I was drawn to it because of the text font style used in the ads for the game, because it's very Grand Theft Auto-esque.
Yeah.
Called Art Heist, White Hat, Critical Gameplay, Puzzle, E for Everybody, no in-app ads, no in-app purchases, 99 cents to buy, updated May 1st, 2018, 48 megs, 5 plus installs, current version 2. So yes, this is a pretty new game, I'll say. For only 99 cents, it was hard to pass up, I'll say. Very interesting top-down stealth puzzle game. Your goal is to basically go through the level, avoid detection, get the prize, be quiet, and escape. And honestly, it was the art style, the graphic style, which said to me, I gotta buy this, because I can't even describe what it's like, except it's different.
It's weird that the video shows, it must be ported from a PC or something. It looks like there's a mouse arrow on it. But yeah, it's like you have to go through a maze and avoid people at the same time.
You probably just screen captured that on an emulator, why there's a mouse there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for a second, I thought it was my mouse on my computer.
It's like blueprints. It's
yeah,
like you're walking
it says
through
actual blueprints. Of actual blueprints of actual museums where you're heisting art out of. And it's like actual real pieces of art. They're beautiful looking pieces. In the screenshots, there's a nice dog and paintings. It's cool.
Yeah, and there's like, it's almost like a heat map, seeing the enemies and the obstacles that you have to avoid.
I bet somebody who's really into art would love this game, just, you know, because they could, I bet, well, maybe some art collectors would always dream of being, you know, in an art heist, or they, you know, go in and steal this famous thing that's their favorite one or whatever.
And the nice thing is, it's not a crime. You're part of a contract team where people hire you to test their security. So, you know, you can play with a clean conscience.
Oh, yeah.
That's white what hat. The game description says. That's why it's white hat. See?
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Ethical heisters.
You are one of the most hyper-ethical people I've ever known in my life. And yet, your diversions often include the most amoral, immoral activities known to man. I'm not sure how that works out.
Well, I will say I have been having a great many conversations with myself here in the last month, because when I was a kid, pulling out a video game, hitting power, picking up the controller, and going through and shooting people to get to the end of the game was horrible graphics, not realistic. And, you know, so it was very, you know, painfully obvious a game. With games becoming more and more hyper-realistic, the more I worry about if there is the potential for any actual effect on young minds with hyper-realistic shooting and killing people, which is the other reason why I have a habit of leaning towards games that look, and first and foremost, like games and not like real life. The more fake something looks, the more I'm okay with it doing stuff that I don't agree with. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or it's just completely ridiculously fictional of an astronaut shooting giant insect aliens.
When Qbert jumps off the edge of a wall to its death, it didn't feel as, it still felt a little bad, but not like a real, you know, jumper.
Even though it made that sound, that horrible death sound.
Love Qbert.
And you remember the arcade, there would be like a thump in the machine as he hit the bottom. You remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It was something to it, man. It got you. It's
like, I suck. There were certain video games now that I'm older, I look back on, and I never really understood why I completely sucked at them. There were some games I could put a quarter in and play Super Mario Brothers Arcade for over an hour. Like, destroy the game. Double Dragon, one quarter, beat it. Street Fighter, one quarter, beat it. Joust, put a quarter in, play a half an hour. But Q-Bert would destroy me. I just couldn't do it.
It must be less pattern specific than the others.
I don't know. I know, Popeye. I was good at Popeye. Tron, loved Tron. Even though I don't think I was very good at it. I could make it four entries for a wave. I could make it to the beginning of the third wave and then couldn't do much after that. But yeah, I watched on YouTube a guy set the, in air quotes, world record on Tron. I believe it was called Tron Deadly Disc on television. Yeah. When I was a kid, I know I hit 7 million and I felt godlike, like, oh, I just destroyed this game. And I know it took me what seemed like hours to get that high in the score. At least I thought the session of hitting start and getting to that score took hours. I watched this guy in like less than 40 minutes get 14 million points on the game. And first off, I know I look better than he does. I'm just saying, because, you could hear
hear his luck.
Yeah, but he crushed the game. A game I thought I crushed. No, I didn't crush. He crushed. Huh.
So you talk about Door's moral high ground and app selections. I've got my next app kind of goes down that road. If you want to do this before we go into any
by all means
emails or anything. And this, you are kind of my moral compass, Mark. And I'm kind of interested on where you're going to fall on this one. The app is called You Consent by Gunner Technology. It's E for everyone. Basically, you use this app and scan a QR code between you and a consensual partner, and then there's a permanent record that you have both consented to whatever it might be.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me put my seatbelt on.
So, and in the first review kind of sums it all up. And the guy's handle is called Call Me Echoes. Would you like to avoid rape charges in 2018? If you answered yes, then look no further. This app will take all of the suspense and spontaneity out of wondering, will she say yes? Will she say no? Husbands can no longer be charged with sex-related crimes against their wives. One night stand? No prob. I didn't read the rest of it.
Yeah, my personal favorite by John Horton. I did not consent to this. That's awesome.
The only thing missing is a medical section letting you know if you have a random partner with an STD. So yeah, that there's always that, which is probably why, well, one of the many reasons why you should use this consent app. But I mean, I like to think that our listeners are not all married 40-year-old people. So this could have, hopefully, a good place to keep somebody out of jail, who's much younger than us.
Well, here's my take on it. You asked my opinion. On the ethics of using this app, I have no problem with it. If two people want to record consent to a particular action ahead of time, I have no problem with that. I mean, you could do that just as easily on a napkin at the bar and write something and sign it. However, it is every bit as legal as a napkin at the bar, which yes. is not at all. So, don't actually think this is doing you anything other than maybe just making you feel better about your dalliances. I don't know. If you want to do it, it's fine. I mean, I think the world will, in the future, move more toward digital signing of contracts. And maybe I'm trying to be really generous here. This is a first step toward that.
Well, and I think if you use this app, you're probably, first of all, she's not going to consent because you pulled an app like this out of your pocket on your phone. So you're already that scoring highly on her gauge, unless she's totally an app addict, which there may be a couple out there.
Well, I'll say this. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to everyone. That is a utter truth that if you do not agree with, stop watching the show, stop listening to the show, just go to something else. But two, court is not about facts or truth. Court is about whose argument was better. Court is also about precedents has been set. They always go off of old court cases as how to move forward. If this has been proven in a court of law to be an acceptable contract, then it can be said this is a successful way to record consent. I don't have to look. This has not been in a court of law accepted as a form of approval. As far as I'm concerned, there is no sufficient means of documenting approval. Life is a gamble, and then you die. If you don't feel confident about having a relationship with someone that they're not going to whatever, then stop. And if you are the kind of person to take advantage of someone when they don't give you consent, may you have the most hard life ever imagined.
Robot in the YouTube says that this is a great way to kill the mood. I agree.
I like the comment by Guy in the Tub. 1.5 stars, 2 lawsuits. Awesome. I actually have no problem with the idea behind it. I don't think it's actually going to be useful in any way. And I would bet the download rate is 9-1 male over female.
Yeah. Me too.
It's interesting that in our society this even exists.
You know, I'm going to go a different direction with this, but I had an incident today, two separate incidents that just happened to be today, where I wanted to compliment one or more female coworkers on their appearance, and I could not come up with a safe way to do that. You know, women are always, I just started with a blanket statement. In my experience, women often are happy to receive compliments regarding, you know, weight loss or hairstyles or whatever like that. But in the litigious society, let alone the corporate society in which I work, I couldn't find a way to do it. So I just had to let it go and say, all right, I guess we'll just have to have positive thoughts about that person, because I just felt scared to say, you look really nice today. I really, honestly, truly felt scared to say that.
You just say .org after it. That works every time. Like, your dress looks really good, .org.
I'll say literally this week, Mark, I was at work and a coworker came to my cube, talked to me about some things. I literally said, turned around to talk to her. I said, that is a really nice dress. And then I know I turned blood red out of fear of what I just said. And then she reminded me, this is what she said to me. She said, Steve, I'm an old black woman. You don't have to worry about offending me because I know you're afraid of sex.
Oh, man.
To which I just turned more red. And then she said, but thank you very much for saying I look nice. I feel nice.
That's funny.
Wow.
I don't know. There's nothing I can say except I'm going to walk across the street and get something to drink. Do you need something? Because I got to get out of the building.
That's awesome, man.
I'll say this. The people at my work of any ethnicity are unbelievably cool. The crackers I work with, I'm terrified of because, you know, it's just where I work, I guess.
So maybe I need to download the YouConsent app and say to a woman I work with, I would like to compliment your appearance today, but would you please consent first so that I know that it's not unwarranted harassment?
I'm pretty sure you'd immediately go to training, Mark.
I think we're right back. This is a great way to kill the mood.
There you go.
You take the whole spirit of a nice-looking outfit out of it with the app.
All right. So let me read the one email that we have this week. And it's from Robert, who says, hello, y'all on AAA. Have anyone heard of the high security virus scanner, high security antivirus, booster app for Android? And he gives us the link. I would just like to know if anyone heard of this app and if it's really safe to use. Thank you for your input, Robert from Spartanburg, South Carolina. I don't know that it's safe, Eric, but or Robert, but you don't need it.
I guarantee you, not safe. Security, we need a new word in the English language. You said all every word is the same word. We need a new word in the English language to define what we mean when we say security on electronic devices. It's about a trust relationship. And you do not make a trust relationship with somebody you never heard of called High Security Lab Hawk Mobile. You make a trust relationship with someone you have experience with, or others you trust have a relationship.
Or somebody who signed the YouConsent app on your behalf.
Or somebody who's
had it. Yeah, High Security Lab should sign a YouConsent.
These people, this company might have the best of intentions of anybody who's ever existed in the known universe. With that said, I wouldn't install this app on anything I've ever owned in my life. The idea of a security app on Android, first and foremost, is one of the most ridiculous things in the world. It's like super gluing your suspenders to your shirt. It's pointless. There is nothing any security application can do on your Android device if it's not installed by the manufacturer. If it's installed by the manufacturer, then that application can have root. If you install it, that means it only has your permissions on the device, thus it can't do anything that any other app can do. Three, there is no known Android viruses ever recorded in first world countries, period. The only types of infections that have happened have been extremely precise spear phishing attacks in corporate espionage that are not actually viruses. They're more like malware, snooperware, spyware kind of things. Finally, all anybody has to do, and ask a security professional, all anybody has to do on any of these Android unwanted wares is change one bit in one file, and that will change the hash outcome of their file, and then thus no security software will ever be able to find that infection on a device. So the idea of antivirus, anti-malware, anti-spyware on any Android device is the most pointless thing that has ever existed. If you want to use VPNs, if you want to use trusted browsers, you can try to do those kinds of things. But all you can do in the Android world is mitigate your security risk. You are the security risk, not your device.
I'm going to go through just the screenshots of this app and give you my opinion on it, because you asked for my opinion, so here we go. First off, if they can't spell high security, that's a problem. It's H-I security. You're just waving at security. But the first screenshot says, boost your phone to make it run faster and smoother. That's not a thing. Bogus.
Boost.
The second one says, kill all viruses and threats with one touch. I'm not sure if that's possible. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it could be possible, but it's highly unlikely. Super cleaner removes all type of junk to free up storage. That's nothing more than deleting cache space. Not useful. Probably is actually a bad thing. App lock. Guard your sensitive apps with extra protection built into the OS. You don't need that. CPU cooler. No. Not a thing. That at best, that's going to underclock your CPU, which would require such a root level of access that this app simply couldn't do it. So that is bogus 100%. Call blocking. Okay, but then you have to give it access to your calls. Wi-Fi security. Detect spies and test Wi-Fi speed. Testing Wi-Fi speed, yes. Detecting spies, not really a thing you can do from an Android device. Deep scan, protect your phone with real-time protection. That's just marketing mumbo jumbo. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
So no, Robert, I think was the name. I've already closed the app. Email, do not install this app, because in order to do the things they said it need to do, it can do, you would have to have, better root, at least root or better, access to do this. And I wouldn't give any app that can't spell the word hi that kind of access to my phone.
1,283,000 reviews.
Well, that's because they paid, you know,
those are bot reviews.
Sweatshops to do it. Really quick, I just want to show one thing on my phone. Because I did say one thing very carefully. I said it. This is the app in my phone called Phone Manager. It's on all Honor-based devices. Right in the very middle bottom, I have Virus Scanner. Avast is built into this phone. So this app, this virus app, is getting authenticated updates directly from the manufacturer of Avast without me doing anything, and it's installed by the manufacturer, which means it has complete root access. This is the only type of AV that even can begin to be successful. I click every damn thing in the universe on purpose. It's never found anything.
Well, what's the number? It looks like it's found 93 things.
That's percent.
That's a percentage of completeness on scanning. The only thing that has ever happened to any phone I have ever owned is I have had unwanted things put themselves into my browser cache to where whenever I opened up my browser, I would have something stupid happen on the screen or it would change my default screen or something like that. That's the absolute worst I ever had happen on a mobile device. And I've seen on a mobile device to where all you got to do is then hold down your browser, take it to app info, go to storage and say clear data, and then whatever infection in air quotes is completely erased.
So just say no.
Does Avast talk to you in the Android still like it used to?
No. Any kind of speed booster, memory booster, if you have less than 2 gigs of RAM on a device, number one, buy a new device. Number two, I could see clearing out, killing applications, clearing cache could give you a literal seconds of extra speed boost, but Android is designed to maximize its utilization of RAM so it keeps everything there because it's faster than reloading applications. And that's it. I have had people with older devices where they try to load an app and it would take forever. So I sent them an app where they click it, it kills everything. Then they launch their app. Their app will load quicker, but then a minute or two later, their phone's back to how it was, because that's how Android is designed to work. If you want a better running phone, uninstall applications. Number one, uninstall everything.
The closest thing I see in viruses is actual, like, these kind of apps showing up on people's phones and they can't get rid of them because they've been installed by an update from their carrier or their manufacturer. It's like, well, you think of Samsung has got Knox. You know, is Knox a great thing? Well, some podcasts might tell you it is, but anybody who uses a Samsung phone probably hates it because it just gets in the way all the time. I don't know. That's the closest I've seen to viruses is cleaners and antiviruses being in people's way and they try to get rid of them, they can't.
So Jesse Judd says, after using this app, I noticed my phone ran smoother and I was able to hold more pictures. Also, the cooldown feature helps a lot if you leave your phone in a hot place for too long. Highly recommended to anyone with phone problems. So if you just leave your car in the phone in the hot car, push that cooldown button and it's going to get ice cold.
Yeah, well, after you get done running a mile and it, like the back of your neck's kind of sweaty, you just hit cool down and you press your phone really hard on the back. It will slightly freeze a rectangle back there, but it really helps you cool down.
I twisted my ankle the other day and didn't have an ice pack handy, but fortunately the cool down app took care of that for me. I was just able to just wrap my phone in my sock and I was good. The swelling went right down.
That's
right. And people don't worry, any day now the artificial intelligence machine learning algorithms will kick in and all the fake reviews in Google Play will disappear. Any day. It's going to happen any day because of machine learning. Oh, wait. Yeah, it's kind of not real. But let's go. Let's move.
That was nice. We had a crap app. I love it. So let's go ahead and do some tank emptying at this point, starting with you, Eric, because I suspect you have a more shallow tank than Dor does.
Yes, I do. I'm sure I do, too. So it's springtime. For us, and not only Hitler in Germany, but this is a time where unidentified plants just start growing out of your places in your yard, and you might want to know what they are. This is called Picture This Plant Identification by Hangzhou Glority Software Limited. It's education, E for everyone. It uses your camera. You have to give it access to a camera, and then you take a picture of a plant, and it will help you identify what plant that is.
Is this any better or worse than the iNaturalist app you brought a while back?
I didn't use the iNaturalist one lately. I've got an unidentified, it was a straight stem, just going straight up and down, and it had no leaves on it, but it kept growing, and I'm like, I'd never seen it before. It's right next to my fireplace outside. And then all of a sudden it started sprouting leaves. And I still don't know if it's a tree, a weed, or something I want to keep. So I use the app. And it's a good possibility it's a white boxwood. which I still don't, I mean, or two other flowers, which I don't think it was. But I'm only taking a picture of the leaf, so it's going off of just a leaf. But
it, well, my immediate question is, did it like slowly turn to you and say, feed me?
No, it hasn't talked to me yet.
I'm a mean mother from outer space and I'm bad.
Exactly. Such a good movie.
You know, we had such a long, cold winter this year. I thought for sure all the bugs would have gotten killed off because it was just crazy. There was nothing, you know, there's so many more bugs this year than I remember ever having. It's nuts. So that's a fable. If you think a long, cold, harsh winter will kill bugs off, it doesn't. It just makes them stronger. That's my tank.
That's it. All right. Tom Silva says, I'm not sure where the reviewers are located, but many of the pictures I took kept identifying plants for their native to Asia. I live in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon, Washington area. That's a problem.
I'm pretty sure that's a pine tree, but it keeps saying it's a lotus flower. I'm
pretty sure that's Johnson grass and not a cherry blossom. Okay. Dor, your turn to empty a tank.
First, another tangent. We forgot to mention this. This is going to be maybe one of the most impactful things to Android game development. Okay. Mobile and console and mobile and PC don't really butt heads. They're basically two different ecosystems, which means they're two different ecosystems vying for buyers' dollar signs. So, you know, you have companies like EA making killings on PC. You have Nintendo making money here, Microsoft making money there, Steam making money here, Nintendo making money there, Rovio making, you know, everyone making their money on their stack. Just announced, not at Google I.O., Valve just announced Steam Link is going to be available for Android devices. So you'll be able to have an Android device pipe your game from your, I believe, Windows only, maybe Linux computers through to your Android device. So you see the screen on your Android device of your PC game and the controls on your Android device. Then you can play games, or you can have a set-top box Android device and pipe your Steam games through the Android device. That is, if it catches any popularity whatsoever, is going to make Android game makers step their game up something severe, because now they're going to be vying for time versus PC gaming. So we might see the beginning of a monumental shift of game quality having to improve or die.
So that's going to sell some more Ryzen chips and boards, and people are going to build a quick little gaming computer downstairs. Because nobody really wants to have a computer hooked up to their living room TV. I mean, we all do, but nobody really wants to have that. And then, like you said, a small, like an Android box would be perfect to be hooked up to that TV upstairs while your powerhouse is down in the basement or in some closet, just being a powerhouse and not, you know, being all LED in the living room.
Right. With that said, I'm going to bring this game currently on sale from $149 down to 99 cents. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases. Last week, pre-show, I played Colin McRae on my Android device, which is a rally-style racing. This is called Rush Rally 2 by Brown Monster Limited Racing. E for Everyone, 2,032 reviews, 4.5 average reviews. 10,000 plus installs, updated February 16th, 2018, 82 megs in size, current version 1.119. There is a video in the Play Store, but I can tell you guys this. The game looks like a hell of a lot of fun. 99 cents. I did buy it. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I hope it's a little bit easier to drive than Colin McRae, because I kind of really sucked major at that. Well, not major, just moderately. This looks like fun. This is Rush Rally 2. I do remember playing Rush Rally 1, so 2, it has to be better because it's a bigger number, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Beautiful graphics.
Okay. No in-app purchases, did you say? Or
no in-app
purchases. So 99 cents gets you all those tracks. That's great.
At least I swore.
No, I think you're right.
No, it does say that. No in-app purchases.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it, too, before it goes up in price. Is it free now?
It's 99 cents.
I must have just bought it. I didn't even have to. Okay. It's installed.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to bring one more, and only because it's goofiness, and I'm sorry, it is yet another game. This is called Nano Golf. Does contain ads, in-app purchases, free to download. This is the one, if you're too cheap to buy anything, play this, and then it'll hopefully push you to go buy stuff because of the ads. Nano Golf. Think of it as Angry Birds mixed into a mini golf game with a little bit of 3D stuff going on and movement, a good amount of movement going on. It was just simple fun, but it's a kind of game after 5 minutes, you're going to get mad and probably not want to play it anymore. But it was fun while the 5 minutes lasted. Yeah.
It looks hard. It looks hard.
Nano Golf by Nitrum Puzzle, E for Everyone, 484 reviews, does contain ads, does have in-app purchases, again, free to download, 4.1 average reviews, updated April 24th, 2018, 19 megs in size, 50,000 plus installs, current version 1.0.25.
Would you consider this 16-bit, 32-bit?
I would consider this the first generation of 32-bit, where they're still using 16-bit building processes, but you know, it looks a little bit better.
Yeah. Is that your tank?
That's all I'm going to
bring. All right.
Yes. There's other stuff, but this, I don't think it's good enough.
So that's 10 apps, 9 good, 1 crap. Starting with Paco 2 by Tree Men Games. Torn by massively multiplayer text-based RPG. Porsche Mission E by Dr. Ing HCF Porsche AG. That's easy to say. No, I opened that one twice, so it's only 9 apps, not 10. Art Heist White Hat by Critical Gameplay. You Consent, it just makes me laugh, by Gunner Technology. Virus Cleaner High Security Antivirus Booster by High Security Lab-Hawk Mobile. Just say no. Picture This Plant Identification by Hangzhou Glority Software Limited. Rush Rally 2 by Brown Monster Limited. And Nano Golf by Nitrome. Not bad for having missed a week. I do want to give a shout out to John Bertram for his Patreon pledge. You, sir, and people like you are the best people on the planet.
Thank you, John. I think we may have been trolled by our email. I think some people like to just listen to us talk about antivirus security items. Maybe. Just because it's kind of fun.
While Dor is copying and pasting, Eric, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listening audience?
Yes, I'll tell you what. This has been a fun show, and the chat room tonight, the YouTubers, were right there with us. Ivor, Robot, Guy in the Tub. Come join us live some Thursday night for an hour, and let us read your banter while we spew ours live. And then, as tradition goes, the YouTubers will now select our show title. So the list is growing in there, and we will be selecting that, and you'll get to see it. But you can see all the ones that were left on the cutting room floor if you actually join us in the chat room live. That's all I got. And more emails, voicemails.
Well, really quick, you said trolling, so I got to bring this email up.
Oh, is this a real trolling email?
This is a real email we got.
Okay.
It's from Vincent, subject sponsorship opportunities.
Oh yeah.
Hello. My name is Vince from blankety blank. My company is mobile games partner that helps independent developers profitability scale their games. We specialize in services such as marketing, UA, and data tracking. We'd love to know about pricing for sponsorship on podcasts such as Android App Addicts. We believe our games are extremely entertaining and would love to have the spotlight on them to increase a awareness through your listeners. Hello, Vincent.
And Dor's typing now. I don't know if you guys can hear his keyboard.
10,000 USD per mention. Let me know when we can start. !! Send. Because you people are worth more than just $50, $100, a free t-shirt, or something stupid. You are the most valuable resource there is. you know, if you listen to the people right now in the world, the most valuable resource is data. Well, they're wrong. The most valuable resource is patronage. It's listening to other people. It's literal digital friendship over this thing we call the internet. When you value something and you value something else, somebody cannot offer you a couple bucks and then make you completely sell out. If it wasn't for any of you people, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. If it wasn't for you people, I wouldn't have the enjoyment of hanging out with Eric and Mark. I wouldn't have any enjoyment sitting down talking to my friends on the internet, period. Because of you guys, I'm able to take the time out of the day of working at a place that drives me nuts, kids that drive me crazy, cooking, cleaning, doing other stuff, going to the store, going over to this place, going over to that place, doing things I don't want to do all day, sitting down watching useless entertainment in front of a tube that gives me zero engagement, but instead I get to actually come down and have enjoyment and happiness via the internet. Who would have thunk it? It's a miracle.
Wow. Is the altar call next?
It's just, I despise how I feel when I'm not sitting down in this chair hanging with guys like you. I really do enjoy coming down here. And some sleazy company trying to shove money at me. Sure, if you give me $10,000, I'll be happy to talk what you want to talk about. Or maybe your game developers could just make a quality product and then it would naturally surface and bubble up and the cream would rise and then we would find it and then we would tout it and we would sing its praises because it actually deserves it. Oh, wait. Sorry, that's how it's supposed to work.
Well put.
We ought to, in the near future, I mean, we've done this before, we ought to do it again, do a show where we tout those, our favorite apps. Like we each bring our top five all-time apps. They'll all be repeats, but yeah. The cream does deserve to rise to the top, you know?
Yeah. I'd like to do a show, and I don't know how PC this is. I'd like to do a show of sponsorships that I hear on other podcasts and actually give them real reviews. Products that I've actually used that people keep pimping that are junk.
Wait, well, I'll say this first and foremost.
Brought to you by Carbonite.
In the modern ecosystem of services and goods, everybody creates lemons once in a while. It happens. My son bought a $40 backpack that in 3 weeks ripped and broke. Does it mean that they're always junk? Maybe, but I know his broke, so it could just be a lemon. Maybe 9 out of 10 of those backpacks are built marvelously, never have a problem, and he got the lemon. So I tried to explain to my son, it could just be a lemon. It could just be crap. So now what are we going to do? Are you going to buy something from the same manufacturer, the same style, or are you going to go for something completely different? And he just felt safe going completely different. I'm sure it's possible for our anecdotal experiences to be tainted by just us having that little thing called bad luck, which actually doesn't exist. Just have that lemon happen. But so many times from so many of my dear friends, when they talk about these products that other people sponsor, and all of our experiences have this pure crap, tells me it's not a lemon.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about things you buy once and try, and it may be a lemon. I'm talking about services that people are selling that are not quality products.
You mean like Life?
No, I'm going to say, well, that's one. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to say Dollar Shave Club. Go buy Gillette Good News razors and compare them. There's no comparison.
See, I don't know that I'd be able to contribute to that one because I don't buy anything ever, so I'm out.
Well, I tried the Dollar Shave Club thing, and... Not an excellent product. I was very disappointed, even though it was super cheap. I don't care, but so
I could tell you the services I pay for, and you know, when the Tightwad Tech pays for something, that has to mean something, right?
We will do this, man. We'll do something like this.
You know, I'm not only a president, I'm also a customer. Oh wait, yeah, my wife bought the Dollar Shave Club once for me. First shave 3 seconds in, screamed at the bathroom, never buy these again. Then she bought Harry's. The thing I like about Harry's is the handle. The handle is really nice. The blades, okay at the best, but the handle's really nice. I like the handle.
Yeah. I mean, a well-balanced handle, there's something to that, yes.
That's why I grew a beard, so I wouldn't have to shave.
I got a beard, but I have to trim it and shave the neck and all that. There's just like I shave one third less than I normally would.
We clearly see who on this show is smart. It goes from the stupid one to the smarter one to the smartest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I shave too much and I hate it.
Ivor in the chat says I need to stand closer to the blade. That could be possible. Maybe I'm just staying too far away from it. I expect the blades to reach out farther. Maybe. I could be doing it wrong. That's probably it. You're holding it wrong, Eric.
You know you're supposed to put the shaving cream on first, right? You don't shave and then put the shaving cream on.
Yeah, we'll bring that up too. Their shave butter is no good. No. All right, I gotta stop.
Honest Amish beard wax. That's the stuff, though. I can tell you. Okay, thanks everybody for hanging out with us. If you want to support Door to the tune of $10,000 per app, you can simply send an email to aaa@podnuts.com. And I'm sure as soon as the check clears, he'll be happy to talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. However, if you'd like to come in at a number slightly lower than that, patreon.com/androidappaddicts is really the better option right there. I think Patreon is currently the minimum amount is $1, but you can actually set your like monthly maximum to be $1. So there are some ways around that. But really, as I've said before, if this show's not worth a buck to you, unsubscribe. But thanks for letting me do this. Almost 2 years, I think it is now. I'd have to go back and look that I've been doing this. And I have enjoyed every night of it. Thursdays in general are terrible days for me. It's one of my busiest days at work. It tends to be one of the busiest days of non-work family sort of stuff. And every night, every Thursday night at about 8:50, I'm thinking, I really don't want to do this. I'm so tired. I don't want to do this. But every Thursday night by 9:30, I am energized and excited and glad I did it. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you for letting me be here. And that's all because, you, the audience, listen. If we did this every week without listeners, we'd have a different set of problems to deal with. So you are quite literally the reason we're here. And I appreciate that. And we look forward to seeing you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the Podnuts Network. The theme for my show is everyday tech for everyday people. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.